Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ shall come again. We gather and worship under that threefold truth. Would you stand for our call to worship as we sing the first verse of Like a River Glorious? It's number 58 in your hymnal. God is good, and all the time. We gather here to celebrate this good and wonderful God, and it's good to see you in worship this morning. We especially are excited to see our many visitors with us today and encourage you, if you are with us for the first time, if you'd like to be contacted by the church or learn more information about our congregation, there's a visitor card on the back of the pew in front of you. You can fill that out and place it in the offering plate today. There are also prayer cards there. We believe in the power of prayer here at First Baptist. So if you have any needs or praises or concerns you'd like to share with our prayer team, you can fill that out and also place it in the offering plate today. There were a number of inserts inside of your bulletin. The exact number is 2, I believe. We want you to take some time to look at those. One of those is the deacon nomination form. We ask you to prayerfully consider the name of 3 individuals from our congregation that you feel have a servant's heart. These are not administrators, so to speak, but caregivers, the pastoral care, to join along with me, the pastor, and the rest of our ministerial staff to meet the spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, and every other kind of need of our people. You'll also see a form for the church has left the building. And we'll hear a little bit more about this during the sermon, but there are a number of ways that you can be involved in that Sunday in the mission and the healing activities that will take place after the service, a prayer team, children's activities, a service project in the park, and then also cleaning up after ourselves for our lunch. So I want to take a look at that and continue to pray about where God might be leading you. One insert that was not in your bulletin is the t-shirt forms. One of our prayers is to be very visible and to have people really recognize us as a presence in the park on that Sunday. And one of the ways that we can do that is to all dress alike, not in the weird creepy way, but in a good way. So we are encouraging you to take a form to fill this out for you and your family, to purchase a t-shirt so that we can have that very visible presence in the park. And actually, the 29th is your last opportunity to sign up. So time is fleeting. We encourage you to do that as soon as possible. Today we come to our last Sunday in this wilderness journey called Lent. And we have been building this desert scene here with the bush, with the light, the water, the rocks. And now we come to our final symbol. The dry bones. As we gather in the wilderness, we think about life and death. This is a symbol of our spiritual journey, not any kind of actual journey, but a spiritual journey that's even more profound and important than any trip we've ever taken. And as we face the perils of life, it's like facing the perils of the desert. Do we have enough water? Do we have light by which to see and to stay warm? Do we have a place of shelter and comfort? And if we do not find these things, we are but dry bones. We will die. And so we consider the prophet Ezekiel this morning in chapter 37 as he is confronted with the realities of the desert and the war that is life and the outcome that if we do not live by the Spirit, if we do not seek shelter in the presence of Christ, if we do not drink from the living water and have life to the full, we are but dry bones. And here's what the prophet saw in chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." The question for us in this service of worship is, can we, dry bones, live? Can we find life in the desert? Can we be those who are brought back to life by the Spirit of the living God? Would you pray with me? Oh God, we ask you to be with us in this hour of worship. For as Ezekiel knew, we know also, you're the one who knows the answers. You are the one who has the answers. You are the answer. We seek you this morning with this question: can these dry bones live? Can we have life? Can we live well and live fully? Can we live faithfully and obedient to your mission, on your calling on our lives? Lord, you know. And so we pray, as we do every Sunday at the beginning, with this Lord's Prayer, not as some cold ritual, O Lord, but as a statement that you and you alone have the answer, even to the questions about how to pray or what to pray for, what to seek or what to hope in or what to long for. And this prayer indeed, O Lord, says it all. And so we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Please stand and sing our hymns of praise. I stand amazed in the presence, and oh, how he loves you and me. Let's worship and sing together.
Jesus of Nazarene,
be seated. This morning, our ministry highlight is Holy Week, which begins next week. So next Sunday, Palm Sunday, our church will have a tenebrae service, or a service of music and shadows. Tenebrae is Latin for shadows, and the purpose of the service is to recreate the emotional aspects of the Passion story, to recreate the betrayal, abandonment, and the agony of the events leading up to the cross. So in place of a cantata, Mason has asked the worship choir to join him in telling the story through scripture and song. Please make plans to join us for this very moving service that reminds us of the earthly struggles that Jesus endured as a sacrifice for our sin and the price of our salvation.
Then on Thursday, at 7 o'clock, we invite you to gather in the fellowship hall for a Seder meal. It's not a meal where you're going to get full or fed, at least not physically, so better eat before you come. But it's a symbolic meal. We are told in the scriptures that it was on the night that Jesus was betrayed. He was gathered in the upper room, and they were sharing in the Passover. This is the Seder meal. And so if you've never been a part of this, it's really a powerful way to make that connection between Jesus' Jewishness and his Jewish heritage and where he institutes the Lord's Supper. So we'll gather, we'll share in those symbols, we'll hear the story of the Exodus and God's deliverance, and then close that time with sharing in the Lord's Supper, the ultimate deliverance that God offers through his Son, Jesus the Christ.
Holy Week will conclude on Sunday, April 5th, Resurrection Sunday, a day that will begin very early in the morning, I hope for many of you, at 6:45 as we join for a community sunrise service at Holt Chapel here on the campus of Elon, a home for children. This will be an opportunity to gather with churches in our community, to worship together, to celebrate the empty tomb. It will begin at 6:45. April 5th, Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. And immediately following that, we will have a light breakfast over at Holt Chapel as well. So I encourage you to come out for this time of community gathering for our Easter sunrise service. Then the Sunday morning schedule will be as normally scheduled. 9:45, Sunday school will meet. Our children will be celebrating at 9:45 with an Easter egg hunt, followed by the story of what Resurrection Sunday is all about. Then we will conclude our Holy Week celebration at 11 o'clock with a celebration of worship, a wonderful time to gather in the Lord's house to celebrate this most holy day in the life of the Christian church. I encourage you throughout all our events to invite your friends, invite your family, starting next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and then concluding on Resurrection Sunday at 11 o'clock for our time of worship together. We are excited about Holy Week. We've been preparing during the season of Lent. Let us place our focus on what this season is all about.
Please stand for our offertory hymn, Lamb of God. Please stand.
Walk above this. As most of you know, my father was diagnosed with ALS 3 years ago. He recently fought his last battle and is now fully restored in heaven. My family wants to make sure a cure for this horrible disease is found. One way we can do this is by participating in fundraisers such as the Walk to Defeat ALS. It is April 11th at Center City Park in Greensboro. If you would like to join our team, Harrison's Heroes, or donate, please see either my mother or me today out in the vestibule. And let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here today and for the beautiful weather. Please be with all those who are sick, mourning, and rejoicing today. Bless each gift and giver, and let us always be a witness for you in all that we say and do. Amen.
Would you join with me this morning in our pastoral prayer and confession? Let us pray. Father, as we gather here as the body, First Baptist Church of Elon, that you brought together so many years ago, and as you continue to bring together to strengthen relationships in this family, we give thanks in this season of Lent, in this season of preparation, this season of focus and reflection on who you are and what you have done. Father God, we have been anticipating Holy Week. We have been anticipating the celebration of the empty tomb on Resurrection Sunday. But Father, we know that we are not yet there. Recognizing that, Father, as we reflect on this time in our lives, as we continue to serve you, we come to you as a family, grieving the loss of a loved one. We come here as weary travelers on the journey of life. We come here as your creation, yet imperfect because of the sin that we carry. Father, as we come to you at this time, as we reflect, as we pray, as we confess, Father, we turn it over to you, recognizing you bore the burden on the cross and that you conquered death by the empty tomb. And Father, we are excited and we anticipate the celebration of that day and the hope that it brings to us, not just on Resurrection Sunday, but every single day. Father, we come to you, seeking you, asking for your guidance and your wisdom. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading comes from Romans 8. 1 through 9. Therefore, There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
From heaven, Jesus.
Let me first say, because I don't want this to be a distracting thought throughout the rest of this sermon, today the object you'll be given to take home with you is not going to be a chicken bone, so don't let that trouble your heart any further. Let us pray. Almighty, we know that you do have something for us to take home from this day. We pray our eyes open, hearts opened, minds open to receive it, to see and hear clearly what it is you are calling us to do and calling us to be, to receive the Spirit, the breath of life, and to take into the world this message of hope and light. In Christ's name, amen. That is a haunting question God asked the prophet. Mortal, can these bones live? Can there be life in what is lifeless? Can there be hope even in the midst of the hopelessness of death? And as we read those words this morning, they challenge us. They are not just some question God asked long ago to an obscure person like Ezekiel, but they are words God asks us here, now. He asks us as individuals, but he asks us as a congregation, can these dry bones live? And here's what happens next in verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. Oh, the leg bone is connected to the knee bone, and the knee bone connected to the thigh bone, the rattling bones. And then verse 8, I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Pause the scripture reading there. Because I believe this is an apt description of where we are as a congregation. Yeah, I was telling the prayer team the other day that in my experience as a pastor, both at First Baptist Chabron and at Corinth Baptist in Chabron and First Baptist in Elizabeth City and then Emmanuel Baptist in Wiesbaden, Germany, the situations were very similar. These were dead churches, broken. They had been racked with different situations, and their circumstances were not the same, but numbers had dwindled, activities had disappeared, there was no prayer meetings, there was no Bible study, there was just a real shell of existence. And so everything had to start from scratch. It was a rebirth, where you had to come in and begin to bring people together around a shared vision, a common idea, hope, to breathe life of hope into the congregation and get them to start to learn the Bible again and to discover what God's Word says and to find some depth of spiritual growth and to begin to see what their gifts were and what they were good at and to motivate people into action, to teach and to lead and to serve as deacons and to get the people to truly be those connected bones. But this congregation, you're past all that. You're way past that. You don't need any team or group building activities to bring you together. You love each other. You love each other, and you welcome the newcomers with love. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'd be out of a job. But you're pretty good. And you have a spiritual depth. There are dynamic Sunday school teachers at every age level. people who know the Bible and know how to communicate God's word. Not just our paid staff, but our volunteer teachers and disciplers as well. You're good at that. You know the Bible. You've gone through spiritual gift studies. You've identified what you're strong in and what you're weak in and know how to use your strengths to the advantage of the kingdom of God. You have that sense of purpose in that you have a number of programs and activities and a vibrant life and heartbeat to the church and the rhythms of activities. There is plenty of stuff going on already. So I liken us to this. I was this weekend at the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of North Carolina's General Assembly and was catching up with some pastors that I have not seen in 3.5-4 years since the last assembly I attended. And it was interesting to hear them talk about their congregations. Now, I can't name names, because people, the victims are going to remain nameless. But my Lord, the stuff some pastors deal with and have to struggle with. One pastor was telling me he was being accused of destroying the spiritual authority of worship because he wore a blue shirt and not a white shirt. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Another was struggling with this constant challenge to the vision that the deacons and the vision team and the pastor had come up with. And they were trying to move the church forward. And at every turn, the same guy with a loud mouth was shooting things down left and right. We let that happen sometimes. The loud mouth wins the day. Well, this was happening to him. And he didn't know what to do. And he was so frustrated and powerless and just felt like the church's ministry was being decapitated. There was another pastor. He had just recently been expelled from his congregation because he was letting in the wrong sort of folk. He was welcoming in the poor folk and folk of a different race and a different social status. And he had been warned time and time again, you better stop that preacher. We don't want to welcome Jesus into the church. And finally, they just said, you know, why don't you just go? So I love y'all. I really love y'all. Thank you for being the church that you are. You have body to you. You've got bone connected to bone and sinews. Yet, I think we sense as a church that there is one thing missing. There's that something that's not there. We got all the body of a church. We got the flesh and the blood of a church. We got things connected the right way and in the right fashion. We look like we're alive, but we are like this dry bones in the desert. We have it all together, yet there is no breath. There's that one thing lacking. But there was no breath in them. You know, churches can have their act together and have a lot of programs and ministries and love each other and have great fellowship and dynamic teaching and preaching, beautiful worship music every Sunday. But there could still be that one thing lacking. And here the prophet is told the thing that's lacking is the ruah in Hebrew. It's a word that can be translated breath, as it is here, or wind. Quite literally, it's the spirit. And in the Old Testament, the Ruach Yahweh is the spirit of God, or the breath of God. Consider when God took the dust and formed this being, this Adam. And there was no life in him. Until when? Until God performed divine CPR and breathe the spirit. If we are like this, and you may push back and question whether or not we are, then to say we are lacking the spirit, we have to clarify that. What does that mean? Because we are believers. We have the Holy Spirit, obviously. We are the body of Christ. We have Christ's spirit, definitely. But what we are saying is that the Spirit is defined and witnessed to by what here? By motion. By movement. Think about that. The defining aspect of God's Spirit alive and at work in the church, in the body of Christ, is movement. It's motion. Where are we moving right now? We have sensed this and have talked about this for several months now, that there is this stirring within us, a longing to move as a congregation outside of the walls of this room, to somehow find ways to connect into the community and reach deeply into the world around us. How can we engage missionally, maybe even, oh my goodness, we're going to say it, evangelistically into our world? And questions have begun to surface. How do we do this? Can we do this? Should we do this? How do we grow the church? Through movement and motion and action. This, the church has left the building, is somewhat symbolic of this. This is not the final culmination of anything, though. This is a stepping stone. This is a beginning point. But I believe that the church has left the building is a defining moment in this congregation's life. It will define us forever. Are we the type of people who are willing to give up a little comfort one Sunday, to move outside of the walls of the church, to move out directly into the heart of the community, and to make ourselves known and make known the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we a people who are willing to roll up our sleeves and engage in acts of healing and ministry, and to sit down with strangers and offer prayer and offer words of hope? If we are, this will define us as a church that has the Spirit and is moved by the Spirit into the world and into the community. If, however, we say, I don't know about this stuff. If we find reasons and excuses to not participate, to not support this, to not share in this, it will define us as a church that's still laying on the ground, lifeless. That's a pretty serious definition. It has been suggested that there are a lot of people in our congregation that are head over heels excited about this, and they see this little sheet and they think, wow, do I have to only pick one way to serve? I would love to be on this prayer team that day and to pray for the needs of people in the park, to pray for our community. I would love to be a part of these children's activities and share a smile and possibly a ray of hope or light in life with a little child. And maybe their mom and dad will be there and be encouraged. And who knows what God could do through that. I would love to be out in the park picking up trash and cleaning up things and making our community look better. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. We just have to pick up a little trash. And yet it will bring so much healing. I hear that, but I also hear, and this is what troubles me, some grumbling. I don't know if I want to have to go sit out in the park. I like my Sunday school class, and I like my Sunday school teacher, and I like the curriculum we use. I don't know if I want to sit there and do something different. We have heard maybe there's some question about, well, should we be working on a Sunday? It's interesting. Last Sunday, we read that scripture about a man who was blind receiving sight, that Jesus worked and made a little mud and put it on his eyes. And it says the man was then asked to go and work, to walk further than he should and wash his eyes, to work his eyes clean. And then he was given sight. And how did the Pharisees respond? They said, I don't know. He's a sinner. He's working on the Sabbath. It's to miss the point that what we are called to do is not work, but to bring healing to bring witness, to bring life to our community. But if we allow ourselves to be distracted and hung up on conventions and comfort and the same old, and we like the people that we like and we don't know those other folks, and we like our little group and our little corner and our little thing, if we do that, that defines us as dry bones. But here's the thing, and this is why I say I love you. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to show up in the park on Sunday and say, "Where is everybody?" I don't think we're going to hear a grumbling, mumbling word come that Sunday when the church has left the building. I think we're going to hear excitement and enthusiasm. We're going to witness wonderful connections with our community, our neighbors, our friends. We're going to be overwhelmed with smiling faces of children playing games and eating hot dogs. And we're going to walk away from that saying, "Let's do this again. Let's do this some more. I believe in you." And I don't believe you are willing to be that body without breath any longer. I think you are ready to go in the face of God and be in awe of what he will do. The church has left the building. I said it's not the conclusion. It's just a ripple. The rock that hits the pond, the rock that's cast into the pond, is not the church has left the building, but this new now mission to make new disciples right now, which, through a little sleight of hand, by the way, is actually the Great Commission that Jesus himself gave us. Church growth is not just picking up a few disgruntled members from this congregation or that, though we welcome them and are excited. Church growth is making new disciples now. The church has left the building is step one. God only knows where we're going next. And so I can, with full confidence, read to you the rest of this scripture, because I believe the rest of this scripture defines us for our future, for tomorrow, for the coming years and the coming decades. When in verse 9, he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are all dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." 5 years from now, when we look around our church, we will say, "Surely the Lord has breathed life into this body." Would you pray with me? God, thank you for First Baptist Church of Elon, for their strength and depth and unity, for their joy and commitment, for their eagerness and willingness and yearning. Now breathe life into us that we might move, that we might act, that we might be a people in motion, seeking to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is our mission. Help us to fulfill it, Almighty God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I want to take a moment for you to respond. We will respond in song, but I also want to invite you to respond in prayer. Before we conduct this hymn of response, I want to invite you to simply bow your heads, and for you, I have prayed, but now for you to pray, for the church has left the building, and for this mission, this new now mission that God has given us. You can pray silently, but I would encourage you to pray a simple prayer out loud, maybe even if it's just one sentence. Prayers of encouragement, prayers of hope, prayers of faith in what God will do. And after a time of prayer, we will begin to sing this hymn of response, "Breathe on Me, O Breath of God," number 241 in your hymnal. Let us pray and then prayerfully sing. Your Son, Jesus, this is our prayer and our hope. Amen. I said that we would not give you and make you take home a bone, but each Sunday in Lent, you've had something to take home to remind you of the message and the challenge of that week, a rock, a cup, a candle. But since we have defined the marker of the Spirit's present as motion, movement, we wanted to give you some work to do this Sunday. So your challenge is sometime today, before you lay your precious head down on your pillow, to find a dry twig and to say that that dry twig is a symbol
of a person in your life who is dry bones, who does not yet have the Spirit of God, who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's our mission. That's our call. That's our reason to reach the world. And so I want you to find that little twig and place it with the rest of those symbols as a reminder that God has put you in that person's life to prophesy breath over them. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray that as we go today and find those twigs, those dry branches, those symbols of that person in our life who doesn't yet know you and hasn't experienced you in their life, that we would take it seriously and pray for all strength and courage and wisdom to see that you have placed us in their lives to be that word of prophetic breath, that word of hope, that witness to the life of Jesus Christ, that we might go into all corners of the world, starting right here in Elon, to make disciples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.